Turn to Joel chapter 2, page 914. I'm beginning to read at verse 28. So let's say together, and this is such a great reading. And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So Bea has our second reading. Thank you.
The second reading is from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 8, and can be found on page 1092. Acts chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day was taken up into heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Before we look at that passage together in a bit more detail, let's stand to sing number 16, "All I Once Held Dear, Built My Life Upon."
You're my
Please be seated. A moment's quiet before a short prayer. Heavenly Father, may the power of your Holy Spirit move in this place, enabling me to speak your word and not my own, and opening all our hearts to receive your message for us today. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I fancy that if everyone in this congregation was asked what first came into their mind in association with the word power, there would be lots of different responses. Because we use it in different ways, don't we? When we're speaking or writing, we use it as a verb, as a noun, as an adjective. We probably use it in all wrong sorts of ways too. And if someone's in a position of power, they're usually in a position to get something done. Power comes into our house, it comes into the building, and if we're any luck in this place, it lets the lights go, but sometimes it doesn't. But we have batteries in our torches, don't we? I'm not a great fan of TV adverts, but I do like the Duracell bunny. Other batteries are available, as they say. And I have a Duracell bunny. He's not quite the right colour when he got blown up, but I do rather like him. He sort of conveys a sense of energy and a sort of get up and go. And I suppose I'm a bit biased because in my training sessions I used to be called the Duracell bunny because I used to just keep running around the field, not very fast, but I would like keep going forever. But he doesn't keep going forever. But I do rather, I say, he's my favourite. And the running fraternity has many different energy bars, which are all supposed to give you speed and endurance. And one is actually called the power bar. But needless to say, I just stick to old-fashioned chocolate. Works much better for me. But in the same way that my tummy probably doesn't like the power bar, then power of all sorts can be misused. And we're probably all very familiar with that famous quote, dating back to 1887, from a certain Lord Acton, who said, "Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely." And we've seen that, haven't we, actually, in the past week's happenings in Hollywood and elsewhere. People abuse their positions of power. So what's all this got to do with us today? And what is a true picture of true power? We're partway through a morning sermon series that supports the parish theme for this year of You Are My Witnesses. Today's sub-theme is We Need Powers, but I actually prefer to think of that in the singular, because as we shall see, there's really only one power and the source of power that really matters. And our reading from Acts chapter 1, page 1092 in the Church Bibles, I think, is it? Yes? That, if you want to have it open there, we're going to explore that a little bit more. And it's just that this passage and the one from Joel are really, the one from Joel really excites me. I think it's a really exciting passage. And so for some time when I was preparing the sermon, I was thinking, well, where do I start with all this? But I came down from the stratosphere a bit. So I think it might be helpful to put the passage from Acts in context. And the book of Acts is in many ways the second volume of a story of which Luke's gospel is the first. Hence Luke, the writer of Acts, opens this passage with the words in my former book. Acts is the story, albeit a selective story, of the early church, and it's all about Jesus. However, it's also been likened to a play in which we're invited to become the actors and to become part of an unfolding drama. So let's just take our cue, shall we, and enter into that play now. Fundamental to the whole book of Acts and the resurrection of Jesus is the resurrection of Jesus and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be focusing on the second one of those, although they're both obviously foundational to our Christian faith and can't be separated. So let's consider what is power, how we get power, and why we need power. So what is power? The power we're thinking about this morning, and the most important power, is a gift from God. The gift the Father promised. Jesus reminds his disciples that he'd spoken to them about the gift of the Holy Spirit during the period of his ministry. And when he promised the disciples the Holy Spirit, he said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." Jesus then refers back to the beginning of his ministry, when John the Baptist summoned Israel to repentance and renewal. As Jesus said, "John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Verse 5 of our passage. And the comparison with John's baptizing is significant. John baptized with water, which was really only a sign which he himself recognized, but the disciples would be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and that would give them real power. So if the Holy Spirit is power, how were the disciples and how are we supposed to get that power? The disciples were told quite clearly, weren't they, what to do. "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised," verse 4. They would then receive power from the Holy Spirit. That happened 10 days later at Pentecost. And the prophet Joel foreshadowed that outpouring of the Spirit with those wonderful words that we just said together. "I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And that's why I really got excited with those words. But there's an important word in Jesus' instructions which says, "Wait." And that is something I'm not usually very good at doing. And certainly we live in a society, don't we, where everything has to happen now or yesterday. We should wait and pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit to find both our calling and our energy. The Duracell bunny is great, as I've enthused, but once in, he's off, regardless. So we should learn to be still amid the busyness of life. We will receive more power and peace if we do that. There is so much sense in the words of Isaiah. "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint." And that phrase, "hope in the Lord," means waiting on the Lord. And the Holy Spirit isn't going to suddenly come like a delivery from Amazon or a drone from the sky or however they deliver things these days. So before we think why we need power, let's just take a moment to invite the Holy Spirit into our hearts. We may receive the Holy Spirit just now. We may receive it in church this morning. We may not, but the timing for each one of us is in God's hands. But let's just let the Holy Spirit work in you, uniquely in you, not you trying to be someone else or me trying to be someone else. So let's just sing quietly and reflectively, or just sit quietly if you prefer, number 675, Spirit of the Living God. Why do we need that spirit? Why do we need that power? The apostles hadn't quite grasped the why and the timing of all this, hence their question in verse 6. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They were not alone. It was generally believed that God would establish an earthly kingdom, and the mention of the coming of the Holy Spirit probably encouraged them to think this was about to happen. In fact, what Jesus meant was by his central message about the kingdom of God was that God's kingdom was coming, but that it would be through Jesus transforming things in this world, as we indeed pray and will pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It was not for the apostles, nor is it for us, to know the time. It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his authority, says Jesus, quite clearly. And the apostles remind one, don't they, of children going on a car journey, questioning every 5 minutes, are we nearly there yet? Or as I used to hear on the train, the children saying, is our station the next one? And they'd hardly come out of Charing Cross at the time. So there's all this impatience, isn't there, and thinking it's going to happen. God has the authority. He will decide the time, but we are promised the power. To attain the kingdom of God, the power received from the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary. But power of any sort is only any good if we use it and use it properly. Yes, we should use the power of the Holy Spirit to draw ourselves nearer to God, to walk closer with the Lord. But we also need to use it to witness for him, as Jesus commands in verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We need that power, just as Jesus' disciples needed that power, if we are to be his witnesses. And we need power that's going to last. Even the Duracell bunny doesn't go on forever. And the power bar and its effects certainly don't last very long. And let's be honest, a witness is only effective if we, or whoever's witnessing, says, I know this is true. Not, I think this is true, or this might be true. I know this is true. Real witnessing is not just words, it's also deeds. And perhaps more disconcertingly, the Greek word for witness is, I believe, and for martyr, the same thing. To be a witness means being faithful, no matter what the cost. And if we go weak-kneed at that point and think it's all too difficult and that's not us, let's just take encouragement from what happened to Peter We know that he denied his Lord, didn't he? He denied being with him. But after the Holy Spirit came upon him, he was able to deliver sermons in front of a whole load of people, many of whom were mocking him and the disciples. So the power of the Holy Spirit was going to make the disciples witnesses for Christ, and it's going to do the same for us too. We are on the same journey as those disciples, and as Tom Rice, a noted commentator and author, puts it, like the child who stops asking the questions because suddenly the journey itself becomes so interesting. We find there's much more to see that we don't worry so much about the when. Jesus is already appointed and enthroned as the world's true king. One day that kingdom will come, fully and finally. In the meantime, we have a job to do. And that job may be daunting to most, if not all of us. But as Jesus said to those early followers, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So let's just hold that thought and that encouragement in our minds for a moment before I close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be your witnesses in this place and beyond, for different kinds of gifts but the same Spirit, for different kinds of service but the same Lord, for different kinds of working but the same God. Send your Holy Spirit into all our hearts, that your word may take root and grow in us, so that we may flourish in your service to the glory of your name. Amen.